All right, so who's been the cleverest so far?
Yeah.
Who would it be?
What's the bar?
Yeah.
I'm going to miss Mother.
Man.
Let's see.
We've got a whole new thing.
Wow, it's like a Swiss Army.
Got a whole new character.
I know, that's what she's
like. She's so good. Yeah, Mom was one.
So was the plan always to kill Charlotte, have Mom there, get rid of Mom, and bring Charlotte back?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
No. We just fell in love with Trisha Helfer, and which is not hard to do. And we just, she's just so good on the show. And but we told her and ourselves, if we can't think of something as awesome as Mom for you to play, then none of us wanted to do it. So we sort of developed it for a while and then decided, okay, I think we've got something pretty darn good. And we talked to her about it and she was like, I'm in. And
yeah, it was really, it was fun because like season two, we were like, all right, we know exactly who this character is, what the fun of it is going to be. Once we had Trisha Helfer, you're like, how do we hold on to her? What can we do? And so yeah, it was, but it, we, like Ildi said, it really was like, you don't want to waste that talent. Like, you really need to find a role that is equally juicy for her. We think we got a really fun one.
And
great.
The bar was somewhat high. I mean, she played the goddess of all creation. Like, how do you get, you know, everything else pales. But we found the character of Charlotte is even more complex in a way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, you know, in this business, it's very important to have the right people around you, the right team. How did you guys find your dream team, and how did you keep the relationships with everybody so strong?
Oh, my gosh.
Casting, writing, both?
Casting, writing, all?
Everything, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, casting, we both sort of came into it at a point when most were cast already.
We bring in Kevin.
Kevin, and I was there with when Rachel joined the cast, and then of course Trisha and Amy.
Yeah, Trisha and Amy were are two big swings because we had a show that was working, and we had a cast that really gelled. So the question was, you bring in these two new energies, and is it additive or is it disruptive? And we just got really lucky for one. For another, we asked around and just found out that we had hired not only two wonderful actresses, but two great people. Which,
and Tom Welling fits right in there, too.
Yeah.
He's we lucked out with another. I mean, not only is he awesome and somewhat attractive, but he's such a great guy. He came by already, didn't he? He's such a lovely, lovely human, and he fits right in, too. I mean, there's kind of a seamless way he came in onto the cast. And then writing, we actually are very sort of proud to say we have the same writing staff since episode one. Well, episode two.
Yeah, plus or minus one or two people.
One went on to bigger, not better, things. And then...
Just bigger.
Just bigger. And then we promoted a staff writer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also have a 50% male to female ratio in our room, which should not be as weird as it is, but is pretty awesome and was very important to us. And in the case of writers, we hired people who could do everything, write humor, write drama, write horror, because that's what our show is, which is a harder thing to find than you might think. But that was a huge part of it, was finding the people that could blend and also finding good people. Like, honestly, when we met with Tom Welling, to sort of circle back a little bit, one of the things he had mentioned, that people recommended coming on our show. Like, actors liked visiting our show. And that's both our writer's room and our set, is hire people you have fun working with. Hire people who will bring something, both when it comes to on the screen, but also after you yell cut, they're the nice people that you actually want to spend time with. And that's, we're very fortunate to say that's our cast.
Yeah, we do a lot of cocktail hours in the writer's room.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
It's a bonding. Yeah. It's purely all about just to bond us. Yeah. It's
bonding.
It's, yeah.
And idea generation.
That's right. Yeah. We get stuck. Yeah. Just lube it up.
And now you have your headline.
So how nice is it to have your writing staff from episode one and to still be together to create a great show like this?
It's awesome because, for one, you have such a continuity. Like, everyone knows the show, everyone knows each other's strengths and weaknesses, and one of the things that's been fun is getting the quieter writers to step up a little bit, them coming to us and saying, like, hey, I want to do this a little bit more, I want to do that a little bit more, and just that shorthand where, like, everyone knows how to write the show, and so now it becomes that fun game of how do you push each other's boundaries, how do you sort of challenge each other.
And you also have ownership. Yeah. Over the show, like, you know, since everybody has been here since the beginning, they all feel, I think, we all feel like creators. We all feel like we made these characters. I mean, and with the cast, too, I think it feels like a joint effort because we talk to them a lot, and they add things, and we discuss, and we go, okay, yeah. And we all feel a part of it. It's our show. Yep. And then you get patriots out of your staff. You don't get just people like, you know, clocking in, and we all really care a lot. It's and we're all fans of the show too.
Like we annoy people sometimes because we are genuinely fans of our show, which can sound a little like back patty, but it's more like it's fun. We make a fun show and we really love doing it. And hopefully we'll just keep driving people crazy about it for years.
So it's a roller coaster. I mean, your cast doesn't even know what's going to go on or what revelations are coming. Some of them do know more than others.
Mm-hmm.
Could you describe a little bit about how is the process of writing that and how far advanced are you? Like, so you don't stumble on continuity problems or anything?
Well, we do change things as we go, which is why we don't like to commit to telling things to the cast until we know for sure it's going to happen, because we don't want them to go, oh, but you said I was going to have, you know, have a relationship with a dragon or whatever.
I still think that'll work.
we try to sort of do it in stages. Like at the beginning of the year, we talk about, like this season, we talked about it like a three-act play, like a, you know, act one, act two, act three. We kind of break it really loosely and very generally. And then, you know, we get one honed in and then two changes. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to change two a little bit because one changed a little bit as we go. So, but we do try to map it generally out for the season before we even start writing.
Like right now we have an end of act three that we love. It's awesome. Will it still be the end of act three? We don't know. And what I personally believe in is having goalposts, like our act breaks, of like, here's where we could go. And we know this could be awesome. But allowing yourself the flexibility to just discover things. Like season two, the Linda Mays relationship was something that we didn't quite realize was going to be as amazing as it was until we just kept adding scenes of them together and kept discovering it. And you got to leave yourself the room for discovery. Otherwise, you just end up breaking a story so regimented that you lose opportunities.
Yeah, we didn't know Charlotte and Dan were going to be a thing. Season two, we sort of...
We were going to have them hook up.
We were going to
have them. And that was it, and that was going to be fun.
And purely to get, you know, as a means to an end, because Mom was being manipulative. But then we're like, what if she really likes him? What if she starts really liking him? And they're so cute together that you just start... They start telling you what to do.
The first scene where Charlotte literally devours Dan in that kiss, we watched it and we were like, oh, this... We need to see more of this. This is fun.
Yeah, and you know, we just, it's a gift to Dan as well. Gift to Kevin.
Yeah.
He's like, thank you.
Yeah, he looks really disappointed.
Yeah.
Really disappointed.
Can you guys share a memorable moment that you've had while working on this show? Like, what stands out to you?
Something just happened, I think, that we could talk about that was pretty darn funny.
Oh,
that's
cool.
We just got pranked in a very long con prank with half our writing staff and two cast members, Trisha and Amy, were in on it. So we had this staff writer. He's not a staff writer now.
He's a story editor now.
Mike Costa. Great guy, very funny, kind of an assuming guy.
Yeah. He's a comic book nerd.
He's a member of the Magic Castle.
Yeah.
You know, he's that guy. He's awesome. He's awesome. But he says one night, Trisha called and said, hey, can you get me into the Magic Castle? And he said, sure. And she arrived that night solo, not with friends. He thought she was going to come with some friends. And so he texted one of our upper-level writers, Sherry Elwood, and said, this is a little strange, but I just spent the evening with Trisha Helfer at the Magic Castle, and it was really fun, but it almost felt like a date, and it's very strange, but it's Trisha, and that's crazy. So basically, he was a little confused about it. Yeah. Do you like to continue?
You're doing a pretty good job. And then, so... Cut forward like a couple days later, Amy Garcia comes into the writer's room and she's like, hey, I've got this comic book for Mike. I love comics. He's a comic book writer. Don't tell him. Don't make a big deal out of it, though. We're like, what's going on?
She leaves him a note and she, like, you know, we sort of prod her and like,
she, like, leaves a kiss on it
and
we're
all,
like,
she's, like, all embarrassed and blushing. We're like, what's
we're
going
all,
on?
Most of us are, like, married with kids, so we don't get much of any excitement in our lives in a relationship way. So we're all like, wait, is the nerd... getting like
winning.
A bunch
it's
of
like Rudy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And we're all like, but this can't be happening. There's no way this is happening. No insult to Mike, but we're just writers and we're just like, there's no way that no one crosses these paths. But we're freaking out and it's like the greatest thing that's ever happened to us because it's something for us to talk about and get excited about.
3 weeks go kind of on and different
this
things
is a long con.
Happen. It's a long thing. And then, you know, Mike left a little bit early to go to set to go have drinks with Trisha after.
One of our writers comes, you know that Mike left set to go be with Trisha, and we're
like,
freaking
what?
Out.
Our minds are exploding, and then Trisha tweets something like, "Oh, it's fun to have a secret,
isn't it at
isn't
Mike
it
Costa?
At Mike Costa,
wink.
What is happening?" And so we're all discussing it one day at lunch, and Mike's going, "I'm not sure," and then I went out with her, and I think, I mean, I sort of kissed her goodbye, and we're like, "What?
What's happening?
What?" And then suddenly, in the doorway, Trisha's standing there, and she goes, she's very upset. She goes, "Can I talk to you, please, Mike?" And we went,
Oh God.
Mike left, and they start yelling. First it starts, you know. Slowly.
Well, she's like, I hear that you're seeing Amy. I thought we had something. I don't understand. I kissed you, and you're
telling. Does
that
mean nothing? You're laughing at me in the writer's room? Is this a joke to you? And we hear Mike sort of defend himself. And we're going, shut the door. What should we do? HR, like, should we?
Yeah, are we? Oh God, what have we done? We've been like living vicariously through this amazing story, but now, oh God, what have we?
We're doing damage control in our heads. Like, oh no, this was sort of funny, but now it's a disaster. And then all of a sudden, and Mike comes back into the room, and he goes, "I need to apologize to you guys." And he's very serious. We have it all on tape, actually, by the way. To apologize to you guys because you've all just been completely pranked. and then Trisha comes.
Trisha runs out. Amy runs in.
They made up the whole thing. None of it happened. Magic Castle, none of it.
Yeah. They literally were just like, wouldn't it be fun to make them think that Mike is dating Trisha and Amy at the same time?
And then there was this.
That's what our room does.
So it was a whole thing that they really worked on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of impressive.
I have no idea what question that came from, but
so that was
the most memorable thing.
Anecdote. Well,
that's a good anecdote.
Yeah.
Recently.
Memorable things. I was at a fundraiser for Cory Booker, and I found out that he's a fan of the show, and that blew my mind and made me so happy because it's a reminder of the reach that we have on our show and the kinds of people who watch it, and I love the fact that people watch our show. By the way, like, I talk to people of religious faith who watch our show. I talk to a bunch of people who like the morality tales that we end up telling. And I actually didn't get to talk to Senator Booker, but apparently it's one of the things he brought up, is that we deal with questions of morality and we sort of challenge those. And to me, that's what's exciting about our show. And every time I talk to someone who is an unexpected viewer, that makes me really happy because, you know, I grew up Catholic and I like people of faith watching our show. I like people not of faith watching our show. I like everyone finding that thing of our show that speaks to them, be it morality, be it sexuality, be it fart jokes. Because we have all three.
It's time for one more question.
Sorry, we blathered.
So from the initial kind of start of the show, the, you know, log line of the devil retires to solve crimes in L.A. is very... It's kind of a weird log line. And I don't think anybody expected it to be this, like, a character... study, essentially, like, and have to enjoy everybody. So was the goal always to kind of expand the character to really get into them, or were you, you know, what was kind of the game plan?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think it's the ultimate anti-hero, and a character who's deeply flawed. And so because we knew we were taking this ultimate villain and making him our hero, you have to get into the gray area. You have to constantly explore the gray area in that character. And so if you're going to do that with him, you really got to do that with everybody else too. And so, yeah, I mean, we knew that we wanted to explore an angel with flaws as well. So Amenadiel is this pious guy, but he's got an ego. He's got an ego on him. And so everybody has human. Our celestials are human, and our humans have sort of some superpowers as well, like Rachel. Chloe.
Chloe Decker. I know her.
Our detective.
She's good.
Chloe Decker. I mean, I think just having that one character, Lucifer, be so complex, we knew everybody had to step up too and match that. So yeah, we knew we were going to dig as deep as we could.
Well, the show has quite possibly one of the most absurd premises you've ever heard of, and which I love about it. And I think the only way you can earn something like that is character, is grounding it. I love it when shows, comics, movies take an insane idea and humanize it. Like, to me, that's the fun of what we do. It's like, what greater challenge than making us care about the devil? I love that challenge. That's fun. And then around him, how do you care about an angel? How do you care about the detective who works with the devil? Like, the fun of it is, this is absurd. Make me care about it. And if you make someone care about something like that, you're along for the ride. And that's the TV I like watching.
Yeah, I think the moment at the end of the pilot where, you know, he goes to he starts therapy, I think that's also sort of indicative of where the series was kind of going. It's like, he's going to try to understand himself, you know, so we knew we were going to have to dig deep. I don't know if we knew that there was going to be as much humor or sort of silliness,
mm-hmm.
but everyone is so funny on the cast, and you just start writing, you laugh, and so.
You're right, because it's funny, because Tom was funny in the pilot, mm-hmm. and Rachel was funny in the pilot, but one of the things that we've done as the show's evolved is everyone else has become funny too, mm-hmm. because our cast is very funny, and also because humor is what humanizes, right? And so the fun of it is figuring out what everyone's different sense of humor is.
What shows are you fans of? Like, just come up.
Yeah, first I'm digging into Ozark right now. Ozark's really awesome. Enjoying that. Rick and Morty is amazing.
Yeah. Game of Thrones. Yeah, I love Walking Dead. I do. Narcos. I watch.
Gotta watch that.
Love it.
What else?
Outlander's back. I'm very excited about that. Love that show.
Outlander. I love that show.
There's a few.
Yeah, those are. Otherwise, how much? I don't have much more time. Oh, Peppa Pig. My 2-year-old loves Peppa Pig, so I love Peppa Pig.
Bob's Burgers. I like that too.
That's great.
Thank you guys. Thank really you. Appreciate it.